Ah, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father God, I just come to you thanking you so much for the wonderful privilege of being able to speak your word. And Father God, I just pray that it is your word that I speak, Father. I pray that there is nothing of me in this message, that it is all of you. And I pray that hearts will be softened, Lord God, and our good soil, and this word will be planted deep. And if there are those here today who do not know you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior, who do not love you, I pray that this message will turn their gaze to you, will cause them to succumb to the calling of the Holy Spirit and fall down and call on you to save them from their sin. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we always hear the term, Jesus loves you. That term has been going around forever. Jesus loves you. But it was really, really made prominent and famous during a period of time in the early 70s and up through the 80s called the Jesus Movement. And my brother Kerry over here was a part of the Jesus Movement when we were in high school. And basically, young people in the Jesus Movement were just on fire for Jesus Christ. Kerry would go out and witness on the streets with his friends, and they would go to worship services. I went to a couple of concerts. Did we go see Andre Crouch? Okay, so I would go places with them. But, you know, I really wasn't a part of the group. Sometimes I would attend. But, I mean, they were just on fire for Jesus. And one day he came home and kissed me on the cheek. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? And I guess they were doing a Bible study, and in 2 Corinthians it said, greet each other with a brotherly kiss. Of the holy kiss. And so he came home and greeted me with a holy kiss as a result of his experience in the Jesus Movement. Now, a phrase made popular in that Jesus Movement was, Jesus loves you. They were just so on fire for Jesus. Anyone who would listen, they said, Jesus loves you. Even if people didn't want to listen, they were like, chase them down. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And it was just, and that's where that phrase became so popular. And we hear that today as Christians. It's important to us that people know that Jesus loves them. I told Kerry that I was going to be talking about this and talking about him and his Jesus Movement days. And without really even explaining the context of my sermon, you know, he told me, well, one thing about that Jesus Movement and all that Jesus loves you is there were a lot of false conversions. And a lot of people just took that to mean Jesus loves you, so you're okay. And that's all there is to it. And that's all there needs to be. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Go on, keep living your life because Jesus loves you. And, Jesus left his Father's side. He left his throne. He left his high place to come to earth to be beaten, to be spat on, to be hung, to die on a cross, to take the punishments for our sins that he never committed. So yes, Jesus loves you. There's no doubt about that. He has shown that he loves you. But the question is, do you love Jesus? Jesus loves you, but do you love Jesus? Jesus. Having a relationship with Jesus is not just about him loving you. It's not possible to be a true follower of Jesus Christ without loving him more than anyone or anything in this world. Jesus told us this himself. In Luke 14:26, he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father, your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So Jesus did not leave it hanging at, I love you. He requires us. He calls on us to love him. And it can't be made any more evident in this passage. I mean, he says, now, obviously Jesus does not want me to hate my wife, does not want me to hate my children, does not want me to hate my mother. But in comparison, this is how much love he requires from us. He wants us to love him so much that if we compared our love for him to our love for our children, our wife, our mothers, our love for them looks like hate. We love him so much. He requires that we love him. We don't talk about that a lot. It's always, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. But Jesus requires that we love him. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 21. Verse 15 through 17. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Now, this is the well-known passage where Jesus has been crucified. He has risen from the dead. His disciples are out commiserating, decided, oh, we'll go fishing, maybe that'll make us feel better. And they see Jesus on the shore, and they meet up again with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus has a private conversation with Peter, where he is challenging Peter's love for him. And that's this passage. Now, as we read this passage, and those of you who know the passage, Peter, do you love me? I want you to insert your name in there, okay? We don't have to do it out loud. I'll read it, and you read along with me. And you insert your name in the questioning. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And in this passage, Jesus again expresses his desire that we love him. You know, Jesus says, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. It's clear that if we are to serve Jesus, that we must love him. He asked Peter, do you love me? And then he gives him command to serve. He asks him again, do you love me? And he gives him another command to serve. Well, this indicates that we can't love Jesus. We can't serve Jesus without loving Jesus. Jesus loves you, does not make you a servant of Jesus. Jesus loves you, does not make you a follower of Jesus. Jesus requires that in order for you to be a servant of his, in order for you to be a follower of his, that you love him. That's made clear here. You think he only wants Peter to love him? No, he's asking us. Michael, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Michael, do you love me? Tend my lambs. Jesus requires that we love him. Yes, Jesus loves us. It's great that Jesus loves us, but he requires that we love him. If you truly love Jesus, it will be evident in how you live your life. In Sunday school last week, we looked at that passage, and we saw how that event with Peter, I'm sorry, actually we were looking at Jesus washing his feet, but how that event with Peter and his experience, Peter's experience with Jesus in this passage, carried on to his work in founding the church and planting the churches around the world. And so Peter did that out of love, and everything he did was about his love for Jesus Christ. And that's the same way it should be for us if we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at 8 actions that a person who loves Jesus Christ would be engaged in their life. Because again, loving Jesus Christ is not just an emotion, it's action. He called Peter to action. Peter, do you love me? Action. Peter, do you love me? Action. Peter, do you love me? Action. And so there should be actions and there should be evidence in our life if we truly love Jesus and are not solely depending on his love for us. And so let's go ahead and look. We're going to look at those eight actions. Now this is not exhaustive. I'm not saying that these are the 8 things that the Bible outlines, because that's not where I got them from. I Googled them. Okay. So I'm saying that these are some things that we can look at to examine our lives to say, do I love Jesus? Are these things evident in my life to show me that I love Jesus? So it's not about me judging anybody in here. It's not about me saying, oh, you need Jesus. I got him. You need him. It's about us being able to look at our lives and saying to ourselves, do I love Jesus? Does my life, do my actions, do they show that I love Jesus? So let's look at some of these things that I've picked out that we can look at to ask ourselves, do I love Jesus? So the first thing is, do I love Jesus enough to tell people about God? So let's look at number 1. Okay. See, I don't like doing these things. I tell you guys all the time. And like, I'm nervous. I say, look at number 1. It wasn't there right away. I'm like, oh man, this is so far so good though. So pray for me. Okay. So if you love Jesus, we obey his commands. He gave us some commands. In Matthew 28:19, it said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If we love Jesus, we will want to tell people about Jesus. We will want to share God's word with others. And oh, another thing, notice you have blanks to fill in today. I did that too, first time. So go ahead, fill in your blanks. In these passages, Jesus gives commands, not options. If we love Jesus, then like his heart is for people to come to a saving knowledge of him. If we love Jesus, then our heart would be for people to come to a saving knowledge of him. This doesn't mean that we have to be Billy Graham. It doesn't mean that we have to run crusades. It doesn't mean that we have to be a pastor. What it means is that we have to have a desire for the lost to know Jesus. We have to have a desire for those living in a sinful world to want what we have, to have the relationship with Jesus that we have, to have the life change that we have. It should hurt our hearts to see people living a life without Jesus. It should plant in us a deep desire to share what we have in our salvation with Jesus Christ with others, to let others know. Have you ever talked to someone about Jesus? Have you ever shared the gospel with someone? Have you ever gone to someone that has troubles and offered the solution of Jesus Christ? People who love Jesus love to tell other people about Jesus. Number 2, attend church regularly. Hebrews 10:25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People who love Jesus love people who love Jesus. People who love Jesus love being with other people who love Jesus. I love coming to church on Sunday. I love being with my brothers and sisters at Trinity Baptist Church. There's no other place that I would rather be. I love going to Bible studying and sitting around the table talking with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love going to Sunday school and sitting around the table talking with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I love going to FCA camp at UCLA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. There are 800 students there, and there are 300 to 400 volunteers, but I know that all the volunteers love Jesus. And we sit around at lunch and eat. And when the kids are at their Bible studies, we're together talking about Jesus. And we don't even have to be talking about Jesus. Just knowing that they love Jesus like I love Jesus, it's just a wonderful thing. They're my brothers and sisters, people I have never met instantly. They're my brothers and sisters. One time, Leslie went with me, and we were staying in a dorm. The worship leaders were the Katinas. Some of you have heard of the Katinas. And we happened to be riding down the elevator with them, you know. And it wasn't like, oh, the Katinas, can I have your autograph? It was like they were our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you love Jesus, you love being with people who love Jesus. If being around people who love Jesus and hearing people talk about Jesus makes you feel kind of antsy and makes you kind of like, I don't want to be around here. Do you love Jesus? And you know, and someone made this point. I don't remember if it was Pastor Dave or someone else. You know, when we look at that passage, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to get encouraged. But as a believer, that fellowship needs your encouragement. Your brothers and sisters need your encouragement. They need you there to bolster them up, to support them in their walk with Christ. So it's not all about you. And that's the problem with Jesus loves you. Now that's true. Okay? The problem is not the phrase itself, Jesus loves you. The problem is what we have done with it in our sinfulness. We have taken that phrase to make it seem like being a Christian is all about me. Is what others can do for me. Is what God can do for me. It's all about me. But see, and that passage in Hebrews is not all about you. It's about you sharing and giving. If you love Jesus, you know, was Jesus all about me? Absolutely not. Jesus gave up everything. And loving Jesus is exhibiting the heart of Jesus. Loving Jesus is loving to be with other people who love Jesus. Number three, read God's word. People who love Jesus love the word. They love hearing preaching about the word of God. They love reading the Bible. They love learning new things. You know, in our Bible studies and Sunday school, we sit around the table there, and it's just so enlightening. We're all teaching each other new things based on what the Lord is doing in our life and insights that we have gotten from reading the word, from the Holy Spirit, and we share it. And it's just so enlightening and uplifting to just dive into the word of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Well, there it is. If you love Jesus, you love the word, because the word is Jesus. How can you not love Jesus, or how can you love Jesus and not love the word? Because Jesus is the word. Reading the word puts you right there with Jesus. When you're reading the word, it's you and Jesus. It's as if he's right there with you. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you love Jesus, you want to be with Jesus as much as possible. You don't want there to be a time when you're not with Jesus. And what better way to fulfill that desire than to get into God's word. Psalms 119, 10, 11 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I seek you with all my heart. That's an indication that you love Jesus because you're seeking him in the word. You're seeking God in the word. You're planting it in your heart. People who love Jesus love the word. People who love Jesus go after it, after the word, with all their heart because of the love that they have for Jesus. Number four. People who love Jesus pray regularly. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. When you're praying, you're talking to Jesus. You're being with him. He says he lives to intercede for you. He lives to do that. And he wants you to go to him so he can intercede for you. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People who love Jesus pray all the time. You know, in the news this past week, there was a little flap with Vice President Pence. It came out that he prays to Jesus. He talks to Jesus. But that's not the problem. The problem was that Jesus talks back to him. And so the ladies on the show, The View, were throwing this around, and the ones who clearly are not followers of Jesus Christ said, well, you know, I don't have a problem with people talking to Jesus, but when he talks back, isn't that a sign of mental illness? And then those who profess to be followers of Christ kind of wanted to defend him and said, well, I talked to Jesus too. You know, I asked him for a parking space, but, you know, he doesn't talk back. Jesus talks back. If you love Jesus, you're not just throwing stuff up in the air. People who love Jesus go to Jesus. They pray to him. They cry out to him. And they expect to hear from him. He's intercessing for us. We are praying continuously in Christ because we expect to hear from him. You know, for those who love Jesus, prayer is not Jesus, get me a parking space. For those who love Jesus, prayer is about going to him because he is our intercessor. We expect to hear back from him. We pray continually because we expect to hear back from him. We don't pray just when we need money. We don't pray just when we need a parking space. We don't pray just when we need healing. It says pray in all circumstances. Another thing we talked about in Bible study is, do we seek God when things are going well? Or do we only seek God when things are going bad? It says pray in all circumstances. If you want to pray anything, pray, God, things are going great. Please don't let me get big-headed. God, things are going great. Please show me somehow that I still need you. In all circumstances, and expect an answer. People who love Jesus pray to him as if he's right there, as if he's going to talk right back to you. I love my wife, Leslie, and I want to talk to her every chance I get. I text her from work sometimes just to say, how was your hike this morning? People who love Jesus feel that way about Jesus. Amen. They want to talk to him every chance they get. In the middle of the work day, I'm doing a lesson. And I'll just stop because, man, I haven't said a word of prayer today. Just stop in the middle and pray something because I want to talk to Jesus because I love him. If you love Jesus, you want to talk to him. You will pray. Number five, People who love Jesus love people as you want them to love you. People who love Jesus love others. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." How do you know you love Jesus? Do you love others? Do you love others even when they're not lovable? Do you love others even when they're not like you? Do you love others, period? No qualifications. You just love others. Because Jesus did not have any qualifications for loving others. And those who love Jesus love like Jesus, and they love others as you would have as you would love yourself. When we're loving others by helping, encouraging, lifting up, serving, we are actively loving Jesus Christ. That is an active show. That is feeding the lambs. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. When we're loving others. Now, I told Grace I was going to talk about her today. Got her permission. Told her I wasn't going to give her a dollar, but she said okay. When Grace comes up and has to get her hug and greets me, I know Grace loves me. But in that action, in that moment, I can feel how much Grace loves Jesus Christ. And that is what is driving her love and affection for all of us. It's her love for Jesus Christ. And those who love Jesus Christ love others. And it shows. It pours out. Even those people who are difficult to love, you find some way to show them that you love them. Even if the relationship is kind of, fractious and there's a little bit of friction within your relationship, you still try to, in that, you try to find some way to let them know that you love them. Because of your love for Jesus Christ. Your love for Jesus Christ won't let that go. That animus go. It won't let that malice go. It won't let that exist between you and another person. It just doesn't feel right because of your love for Jesus Christ. People who love Jesus Christ love others. Number 6. People who love Jesus Christ live for him. Luke 9:23, one of my favorite passages. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Well, that verse makes it pretty clear. Makes it pretty clear. If we love Jesus, we deny ourselves. If we love Jesus, then our life is no longer about us, but it's all about Jesus. People who love Jesus make their life all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about loving myself. It's not about who loves me. It's not about who appreciates me. It's not about I did this for that person and they didn't even say thank you. I'm just too loving to people. You know, I let people run all over me. People who love Jesus don't think that way. Plain and simple. People who love Jesus do not think that way. I mean, my goodness, you think Jesus thought everybody ran all over him the way that he loved us? He did nothing but heal, help, and provide his 3 years here on earth. And what was the thanks he got? A cross. So people who love Jesus look at that and understand that. And they decide, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. My life is about him and living for him. And if he wants me to give up this thing to serve him, I'm going to give that up because I love him. Now, you know, the world hears that and they say, they think of the Franciscan monks. I'm giving up my life for Jesus. I'm going to spend my life, poking myself with something because I'm giving, That's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to love him enough to trust that if we give him our lives, it's going to be 10,000 times better than we could have ever dreamed or imagined. And he wants us to love him enough to say that what I'm doing is not good for my life. What I'm doing is not God's will for my life. He wants us to trust him enough to know that God's will for my life is way better than my will. And when I deny myself and pick up my cross and carry it, and it's all about him, that's not because he wants us in life for drudgery. That's because he loves us. And he wants us to have a life in God's will, which is an eternally wonderful life. Number 7. Put others before yourself. People who love Jesus, put others before yourself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And that was the example. Okay, I told you guys I don't like doing these things. So if something is out of order, we are on number 7 now. I know that I'm on number 7, and you should be on number 7. Oh, yours says 8. Is there another one after that? Okay, make the adjustment, okay? Help me out. Okay. So I'm on number 7, put others before yourself, all right? And Jesus gave us that perfect example when he is the coming king, the Messiah, left his high place at the right hand of God, yet he bowed down and washed his disciples' feet. And this is the one I was talking about that we talked about in Bible study, because Peter said, he didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And Jesus told him, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. And Jesus said, wash my feet, wash my head, wash everything, because I want a part of you. And then Peter took that lesson in his ministry, and he taught the church leaders to be servant leaders and not to be lords and not to feel like they're high and mighty. You know, as pastors and elders, we're your servants. And people who love Jesus are servants to everybody else. They're servants to everybody else. Their life is about giving up themselves, giving up whatever they have, their time, their money, whatever they have, to serve someone else, putting others first. And, you know, and that's a struggle for everybody. That's a struggle for me, you know. But the desire is there. The desire is there. And the empathy and feeling for others' lives and other situations, and the desire to want to be a change agent for others, and to be an agent for good for others, is a sign of people who love Jesus. Number 8, be an example. Number 7 to you, number 8 to me. 1 Peter 1:15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. People who love Jesus are holy. And it shows in their lives. It's not intended for us to say, oh, I'm holy. You're not. But when you walk in the lunchroom, do they stop telling the dirty joke? When you're having a conversation with one of your colleagues or friends and they use a cuss word, do they say, oh, I'm sorry? Do they apologize to you? See, that's a sign that you love Jesus, because your holiness is showing. They know you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, people should know you love Jesus. You should have a reputation. Uh-oh, here comes that Christian guy. We can't talk about that now. Or, better yet, hey, I'm having trouble with my husband. Can you pray for me? You know, after you get over the thought, well, why don't you pray for yourself? Then you pray for them. But the point is, they know to come to you to pray for them. And they realize the lack in their life of a relationship with Jesus Christ because they need you to pray for them. And see, and that's how we show our love for Jesus Christ when others can see his, not our holiness, when they can see his holiness in us. People who love Jesus Christ exude his holiness. So as I said, this is not an exhaustive list. And no one, even those who love Jesus, keeps up with this list and does it all perfectly. You know, we're still in this sinful flesh. But I guess the question would be, do you struggle and do you desire these actions? Do you love reading God's word? You miss a couple of days, and that means something to you. Do you love fellowshipping, but for some reason you had to miss fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, and that means something to you? So I'm not saying that, you know, there's perfection in this, in these eight things. I'm saying that this is the desire of the heart of someone who loves Jesus. And as we've gone through this list, I hope that everybody kind of went through and took stock. These are some actions that a person who loves Jesus exhibits. And maybe you're here today and as we went through this, you say, man, I don't feel none of that. I don't hang out with people who love Jesus. I don't have time to think about others. What I want to do with my life is way more important than what anybody else wants to do with my life, including God. It's my destiny. If you have those thoughts, then I invite you to come talk to the elders after the service and discuss that and examine yourself. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Do you love Jesus? Everybody here today is here because Jesus loves them. But the question is, do you love Jesus? And that's a question that you must answer. And that's a question that you will answer one day when you're standing in front of God. And you don't want to wait till then. You need to know right now, am I a born again, repentant follower of Jesus Christ that loves Jesus? Amen.